Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to you about God speaking to you through His Word. Now, if we want to know God's, for most people want to hear the voice of God, and they want to hear it because there are things that are not in the Bible, and they want to know God's counsel regarding those things. So they want to know God's unrevealed will. God, what is it I should do? Should I buy house A, house B, or should I rent? God, what is it? Should I go to this school or that school? God, what career? Who should I have as a mate? God, should I take this job or that job? God, I need to know what to do. But here's the way God works. If we want to know His unrevealed will, we have to pay attention to His revealed will. Why would God tell us the things not revealed in His Word if we have no interest in the things He's already revealed in His Word? So it's important for us to get into the Word of God for two reasons. First, and here's another thing I think is really important about the Word of God. As we talk about God speaking to us, as we talk about hearing Him whisper, as we talk to Him, as we talk about evaluating desires or opportunity or different things, here's what we need to understand. God will never say or direct anything contrary to His Word. I don't care how supernatural it seemed. If it's not in alignment with the Word of God, and in that sense, it is very, very important we understand the Word of God if we want to be able to interpret the voice of God. So He's never going to say anything contrary to His Word, and I think it's true as well that if we don't listen to everything God has to say, we'll eventually come to a place where we won't hear anything He has to say. If we close our ears to all that God has to say and we develop selective hearing, pretty soon we will be unable to hear anything God has to say. So, one of the things that He's made very obvious, very plain to us is His Word. One of the things I like to do during a season of fasting is I like to take times where I read large quantities of His Word. So just take a book of the Bible and just start reading. And just read all of it. When you get done with it, go to the next one. And just take in just a bunch of His Word. It has a wonderful effect on my life. It heightens my sensitivity to the prompting of God's Spirit in my life in every area just because I'm saturating my mind and my heart and my life with His Word. That's the power of His Word. So as we think about His Word, there's a lot of scriptures I could go to, but because of Romans, I was thinking about one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 19. And remember, we talked about Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a psalm where God is revealing Himself. The first several verses, the first six verses, have to do with the natural revelation of God. How God reveals Himself through nature. Remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge, etc. As God talks about how He's revealed Himself, the Word talks about how God reveals Himself in nature. And then in verse 7, we move from the natural revelation of God to His special or His supernatural revelation, and that is through Scripture. Let's look at it. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. All of this is talking about how God speaks to us. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Now, I want to leave that up for just a moment. I want you to notice in there what you have is you have six statements regarding the Word of God and how God speaks through His Word. Now, in each one of the statements, and we're not gonna belabor this, but in each one of the statements, you have six titles for the Word of God. Then you have six characteristics about the Word of God, and then you have six benefits of the Word of God. So the law of the Lord, that's a title for the Word of God. It's perfect. That's a characteristic of the Word of God. It revives the soul. That's a benefit of the Word of God. Follow me what I'm saying? So you see that repeated over and over again. And just so we don't forget who is the author, it says six different times of the Lord. So we know it's from God. It's repeated each time. God is the originator of Scripture. So we're going to just jet through the six statements because we're thinking about how does God speak to us through His Word. Statement number one, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. That identifies Scripture as His law, as His Torah. It's the most common term used for the Word of God. It is law. That is, it's law in the sense that it's true. It's law in the sense that it is authoritative. So when God is speaking in His Word, that's the authority, which is the same as saying, doesn't matter what my experience is, what your experience is, if it contradicts the Word of God, our experience comes under the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? So Scripture is God's teaching to men. It's not optional. It is divine instruction. And this is how life is lived in His kingdom. Now, would you notice it is perfect? That means it's complete. When we say something is perfect, it is the way, that's just perfect. What you're saying is, that's the way it ought to be. In the Hebrew, perfect means it's all-sided. In other words, it completely covers everything. Men can give you their philosophies, they can give you their ideologies on how to live, and they'll always come up short, but not God's Word, because the law of the Lord is perfect. It covers everything. And the result is, what it does in covering everything, so anything that you and I would need, God's Word covers in that sense. We approach it with that authority, with that confidence that it has authority. We have confidence in its coverage. And the result is, what happens is, would you notice, it revives the soul. It revives the soul. The word for soul is nephesh. It always refers to the inner person, which tells us something about God speaking to us. And when you're reading the Word of God, what happens is God's Word changes you, which automatically makes it possible for you to walk in the will of God. When I say, hey, you know what? When I fast, I like to read large quantities of the Word of God. Why? Because it sensitizes me to the voice of God. Why? Because it has done the work there. It has revived my soul. It has renewed my mind. It has sensitized me. It's like it's tuned the frequency of my life to the frequency of God's voice so that now I hear. And just by being in the Word of God, that happens. God's Word is absolutely essential to hearing God's voice. That's why to daily have Scripture coming into us is absolutely critical if we're going to know the will of God. Well, there's a second statement. The testimony of the Lord is sure. This is God's own testimony of who He is, what He requires, and notice it's sure. That means it's trustworthy. In a world where there's a lot of things you wonder, can I really trust that? Can I really believe that? Is that fake news? Is that real news? All those kind of things. Here's something you can trust. And notice what it does. Making wise the simple. This is really critical because a lot of people are saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to do this. I don't know that. You know, all of a sudden what happens when you're reading the Word of God, it makes wise the simple. And the Hebrew here is very graphic. The word for simple is someone who lacks discretion, somebody who lacks maturity, somebody who lacks wisdom. Another word would be a fool or a person who's ignorant. But the actual root word is an open door. In other words, in the Hebrew, the idea is that a simple-minded person has the door of their mind open. In other words, anything comes in, anything goes out. See, a simple-minded person operates this way. They don't guard their heart. They'll watch anything, read anything, think anything, listen to anything, which absolutely works against hearing the voice of God. Because if you want to hear His voice, you've got to learn to close the door to other voices. So the Word of God functions, if you will, as helping us close the door. Some people say, I'm an open-minded person. A Jewish rabbi would say, well, shut it. You have a door to your house. And the reason why we have a door to our house is because we want to keep some things out and let some things in, right? And that door allows us to decide. In fact, a lot of people have a peephole on their door so they can look out and they can see who's out there to determine if they want to answer it, if they want to acknowledge it. That's the imagery used here. That what happens is the simple person, the unwise person, has no ability to discern what's coming in their life. They listen to every voice. Consequently, they can't hear the most important voice. But notice, the Word of God makes wise the simple. It can make you wise. Shacham is the word. It's a Hebrew word that means skilled in the practical aspects of holy living. In other words, the Hebrews never separated behavior from the thought. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember that? The biggest fool of all was someone who knew it but didn't live it. Wisdom to the Hebrews meant to master the art of living, to live in accordance with the will of God. And that helps you become wise and hear the voice of God. You know, there's some things that if we allow into our heart, it's going to keep us, if we allow into our mind, it's going to keep us from hearing the voice of God. I would suggest to you that to that end, there's a lot of people who don't hear what God's saying because they simply have too many other voices speaking into their life, things that are polluting their mind, polluting their thinking, and ruining their ability to discern. And if they'll simply get into the Word of God and get their focus on God, you will hear His voice much more clearly. Now, a third statement, the precepts of the Lord are right. The Word of God is precepts, it's principles, it's guidelines. And notice they're right. That's not right as in contrast to everything else being wrong. It's the idea of right as in the right path. The precepts of the Lord set you on the right path. So if I want to make wise decisions, and I want to make wise decisions as a parent, I want to make wise decisions as a spouse, I want to make wise decisions in business, then the precepts of the Lord are going to put me on the right path to doing that. It's going to position me to make the right decision. To that end, I would suggest that a lot of decisions are made in our life before we ever make them because of the path we've been on and the things that have happened along the way on that path. So we have these precepts, these principles, these truths, and they form a path we can walk on, a true path, so we aren't left without a guide. We're not operating in some fog. So we're walking on a path that the Word of God has set us on. So the Word of God is the precepts of the Lord. And I'm preaching on my iPad, and look at this. This is really interesting. It's locked up. Okay. Here we go. I mean, I can do it if I have to. I don't want to very bad. Now I got it taking pictures. Okay, hold on here a minute. I'm going to get it here really quick. Oh, come on.
I only have 13%, so I'll get this working and bring it back.
Oh, yeah, he's only got 13% on his phone, so you guys are going to get out really early. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to, see if you can turn that on. Okay. Yeah, it just died. Isn't that something? Okay, let's see. Where are we at? We're on the right path. Okay. Are you ready? Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In other words, when you know these things, when you live by these things, when you do these things, it will bring joy to your heart. When you're in the Word of God, it will settle your heart. It will calm your heart. Can God speak to you through the Word regarding a situation? Certainly, and that also can bring joy to your heart. Where you're in the middle of a decision, a few months ago, praying about a decision, thinking about a decision, trying to decide, and just thinking, man, I don't want to make the wrong decision. You ever been in that where you're like trying to make a decision, you don't want to make the wrong decision, and you're just like, man, I really, as I know my heart, all I want is God's will. You ever been in that situation? That's a good place to be. We ought to be there on a lot of decisions. Where you're just like, hey, God, whatever you want. And so one morning, and I don't do this very often, but I get up and I say, Lord, I just need you to speak to me from your word. Today, and in my reading, I came to Psalm 32 and verse 8, and it said this, and it was so, so awesome. It said, the Lord says, when I read this, I was like, no way. I like had to read it like two or three times, and then I just lived in that because I was like, this is so awesome. The Lord says, I will guide you in the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. You want your phone? You can follow along. All right. That's why I made the commitment to try to preach without notes right there. You saw it. Okay. Anyway, that was a wonderful joy to my life and to my heart. So it's okay. There we go. The precepts of the Lord are right. Okay. Rejoicing the heart. Number four, fourth statement. The commandment of the Lord is pure. In other words, it's a commandment. It doesn't come as a suggestion. It's really important that you and I come to the place where we settle in our heart. If God's word says it, I'm all about it. Doesn't matter what my tradition is. Doesn't matter what I want to do. Doesn't matter what other people think about the word of God or about if the word of God says it, I'm in it. I'm on it. Because when it's a commandment, that's not God saying, hey, this is a good idea you might want to consider. This is God saying, this is how life is set up. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you'll have joy. There'll be a fullness. And if you don't, your life's going to be frustrated. So when you're looking at the Bible, we're looking at commands, absolute authoritative commands. And the idea is that Scripture, what happens as we're doing that, as we're reading these commands, notice it says, enlightening the eyes. Now, this is really critical in terms of God leading us. As He leads us through the Word, as He speaks to us through the Word, one of the ways that God does that is He gives us eyes to see. He gives us ears to hear, to be sure. But one of the way God speaks to us is by taking our head and turning it and saying, look at that. That's where I want you to go. That's what I want you to see. The idea is then that Scripture takes things. It enlightens our eyes. It explodes on our mind. Have you ever, you know, when you're reading the Word of God, as you're in the Word of God, it begins to make you wise. And all of a sudden, you understand things you would not have understood before. Here's a fifth statement. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord. It is reverencing God. And when it talks about clean, it's without corruption. It's without evil. You reverence God. And as you do that, it has a purifying effect on your life, on your thoughts, on your motives. Because honestly, what is a challenge for every single human being is right motive. I mean, Jeremiah says this, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Sometimes we can't even know our own heart. But verse 10 says, I, the Lord, know the heart. Paul says, remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. You could think you have, you could think, hey, I got the right motive, and we should try to live in that area. But we can't assume just because we think our conscience is clear that that's the final word on it. Because God is the one who ultimately judges. But when you're in the Word of God, what happens is it purifies our motive. And then would you notice it says enduring forever. In other words, that this word lasts forever. It never needs to be updated, edited, refined. It'll never be inadequate. It'll never be outdated. It'll never be irrelevant. And then the sixth statement. I'm going to have the worship team come. The rules of the Lord are true. Rules, that's judicial terminology. It's a divine verdict. So you can look at the Bible this way. It's authoritative, testimony, principles, commands, a manual on worship. It's the adjudications of the judge of the whole earth. The judge has issued a verdict, and it's absolutely true. And the result is it's righteous altogether. It's right. It gives you a right standing with God. It gives you, as you walk with it, you're going to walk in relationship with God. And all of that is summed up in Psalm 119, which really in a lot of ways, Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 are companion verses. But a very familiar verse, Psalm 119 and verse 105 says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Word of God is like a light. It's like a light. It's directing. You say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to find my way. Well, the Word of God is a lamp and it is a light. It is able to show us the way. It's able to guide us. It's able to direct us. It's like a flashlight that is just leading and guiding us down the paths of life. Listen, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, we desperately need the Word of God. There's other ways to hear His voice, and we'll talk about those, but this is the key of keys, the Word of God. And we're going to worship here, but I want to challenge you. I'm not trying to shame anybody. I want to challenge you, get in the Word of God. Now, however you choose to do it, in whatever way you choose to do it, to me, if you get that YouVersion Bible app, I mean, it's right there. You can go on and do the Daniel Fast devotionals. We're almost done with them, but you can do them. That's a way to get the Word of God. And that's a very simple way. But I would suggest to you that as you grow in the Lord, it's not that you would never use a devotional. I think devotionals have their place for all believers. But I would like to encourage you as you mature in the Lord to come to a place where you can read more of the Word of God, just reading it. You say, well, I'm not sure I always understand it. Let me just say this to that. While it would always be best to grow in your understanding, I think the Word of God has a sanctifying effect even when you don't. I think the goal of every believer ought to be to eventually read through the whole Bible. And then I think after that, the goal should be to begin making your way back through the Bible. And the more mature you are, then the more I'm not advocating a legalism. I'm just saying, try to get through the Word of God. Try to read it all. And granted, there are some things that will mean a little more to you than other books. Some will be more readily applicable, but you'll be surprised what you see along the way that the Holy Spirit lifts off the page to feed your spirit, to challenge your life. But just be people of the Word. Be people of the Word. Be in the Word. And when you're in the Word, you'll know His revealed will and his unrevealed will as he opens your eyes, renews your mind, directs your steps, all the things we talked about. Amen.